good point. All right, let's kick this thing off. Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. My name is Scott Klein, your host, and with me today is the awesome Tom LaRock.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I got promoted.
You did get promoted. Oh. You're on my show.
All right.
All right. So, Tom, why don't you take a minute and introduce yourself, and then we'll go.
Oh, well, I'm Tom. Like you said, I work for SolarWinds. My title there is Head Geek, which I think is an awesome title.
That is the, as long as I've known you, that is the title I aspire to have.
Well, father is good. You know, being Papa, that's good too.
We both have that.
Head Geek is good. I like that.
Yeah.
And so SolarWinds is an infrastructure monitoring tools company.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we have like over 30 products at this point that can monitor any aspect of your enterprise.
Perfect.
And my specialty and focus is database.
SQL.
Yeah, well, database. SQL Server, but database.
Databases in general.
And databases in general.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Right. And I've known Tom for quite a while. Good friend.
You have?
One. Yeah.
Wow. SQL Saturday, South Florida.
South Florida.
Is when I met you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Quite a while, some time ago, when I was living in Florida running the South Florida SQL Saturday.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
We have a SQL Saturday coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow, here in Redmond.
Because that's how old the show will be by the time people
watch. Exactly. So if you're looking for the Redmond SQL Saturday, it's past by the time you watch this. All right. So speaking of monitoring and alerting.
Uh-huh.
Ignite was this past week.
Yes.
You were there.
Yes.
And you played booth duty. And as part of those responsibilities, you had some theater sessions specifically focusing on monitoring and alerting.
I did. Ignite, and you were at Ignite.
I was at Ignite.
And Ignite was awesome.
Hanging out with the Satya lookalike.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was awesome.
So Ignite, I thought, was a great conference.
Yep.
In my company, we had a nice booth there. And one of the things that they have us do, Head Geeks, there's more than just me there. There's a team of Head Geeks.
Multiple Head
there's
Geeks.
There's many Head Geeks. But we were there, and we had not just ourselves, but others doing in-booth presentations,
mm-hmm.
which are really, like you call it, a theater. It's a lightning talk.
Okay.
And I had never actually done one. This is my first one. They said, what do you want to talk about? I said, I want to talk about how all the different ways a server can be lying to you.
Which is, I think, is an awesome topic. And people are like, what, they can lie?
Exactly. Lie. A server lies to you?
Didn't know they could talk.
Well, it's more like this. It's the old joke where you go to the doctor and you said, you know, it hurts when I move my arm like this.
Yeah.
And the doctor says, then don't do that.
Don't do that.
But with a lot of the monitoring tools that are out there and the way people approach it, a lot of times what you find is that they end up never really knowing the root cause. They're only ever putting band-aids on the problem. They're usually just doing something to say, all right, now don't move your arm like that. It's the same thing when you hear, every time we run that batch against that server, it's just really slow.
Well, then don't run that batch.
Maybe don't run the batch against it. And they never take the time to really try to figure out, like, and diagnose and get to the root cause. And so I came across that, you know, through my career, and I've just realized I could put together a long list of ways that a server is lying to you.
And the information that you're looking at really isn't the kind of root problem or root cause. It's sort of the lie.
Yeah, you're looking at the symptom.
Yeah.
The symptom is your arm hurts me.
Yeah.
But that's not the root cause of what it is. You know, you broke your collarbone. We should fix that.
We should fix that. Right. Don't skateboard.
So I came up.
Okay.
Would you like to see?
I would love to see.
Some of the stuff I came up with.
There's seven of them, right? Seven ways.
There's more than seven ways. I think I limited myself for the lightning talk to seven.
Okay.
We'll just talk through what we have here today.
Okay.
So the first thing I like to tell people is I don't care if you're running Linux, Unix, Windows, and if you want to use SQL Server or Sybase or Oracle or whatever database platform you have, right?
Yeah.
You have the same resource bottlenecks, CPU, memory, disk, and network.
Yep, I/O.
And for SQL Server, you could say tempdb, but I tell people tempdb is a manifestation of one of those other bottlenecks, really. So, to me, I'm simple. I try to think of things in terms of buckets.
Right.
And I just tell people, it doesn't matter what you're running.
It's one of those buckets.
Right. It's got to be one of those.
Yeah.
So when you start thinking about things in terms of buckets, you start understanding, well, there's a really good chance that the server's lying to you when it tells you about something in one of those buckets. So one of those is memory.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been told the server is having memory issues?
Yeah, a lot.
And what might be a cause of a memory issue for a server?
A memory leak or an out of running process that's taking up too much memory. Yeah.
Something else that's taking up too much memory on the same server. I find it's often that somebody has configured SQL Server or not configured SQL Server
right.
and has allowed it to take all of the memory on the box. right? It's set by default.
Oh, yeah, to take all the memory. And it's going to.
And it's going to. Yeah. So because they simply haven't taken the time to configure the SQL Server properly, you end up with, oh, my God, the server's out of memory. When, in fact, it's not really a memory problem. It's more of like a configuration problem or possibly a workload problem, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. So there's a lot of different ways that you might think of how a memory issue might come up, but it's not really a memory issue. The issue is somewhere else.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be, even if I said, okay, don't take them out of memory, right? So I may say, okay, allot SQL Server this amount of memory.
That's right.
I still may have a process because it's still going to take all of that. So I still may run into that problem.
That's right. Now, let's say you did do that with SQL Server and you said, all right, fixed memory at this amount.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you end up with then is you might end up with, say, a whole bunch of weights that are page IO latch.
Yeah.
And then you might say, wow, I really have a disk problem. Yeah. Now my server has this disk problem. I got really slow storage. Yeah. But in fact, it may not be a disk problem. And I have an image here where I show kind of a house party and I have a little SQL Server. It's just one part of a large house party that we call your SAN.
Yeah.
You've got shared storage on the back end for your system. And you're sharing this with everybody else.
Yeah.
And you're all fighting for that same IO. You don't really have a disk problem. You have a disk SAN storage configuration problem.
Right.
Again, the configuration choice that was made probably a long time ago, but today it's no longer
adequate.
It wasn't
me, it was this other guy. Yeah, it's always the other guy.
So if you think about it in terms like this, you might end up with, and you say, wow, we're having disk issues, but maybe we don't have enough memory. And you go round and around, you're not really getting to the root cause. Oftentimes, the root cause just being, to me, application code. Because, mm-hmm. quite frankly, our database server, you know, ran just fine until we loaded the application.
Exactly.
So another one, if you think about a house party,
right.
If you think about all these shared types of resources, another one I come across quite often is CPU.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen servers that report back and say, I'm having CPU
pressure. Yeah, we're pegged at 100%.
But you know, it may not be you. It may be the same concept of something being shared. It may simply be that in the same way like a neighbor might steal power from you,
mm-hmm.
by running an extension cord, right? It may be
stealing
the case.
Stealing my cable.
Right, stealing your cable. Another good example. Well, in this case, somebody might be stealing your CPU.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, who would be stealing your CPU? What you come to find out is that you're shared. You are a guest that's part of a host. And as
so,
a result,
oh, so I might be virtualized.
You might be virtualized.
Yeah.
And again, it's a configuration option. Yeah. So in terms of allocating virtual CPUs, and again, I don't care what virtualization platform you run, the point would be that over allocating CPUs is a fairly normal thing for an admin to do.
Mm-hmm.
Over allocation is fine. Over commit becomes the problem.
Yeah.
And it can be manifested for your guest here. It says, I'm at 100%. You're at 100% because the host, you've overallocated, you're at 3 or 4 times the amount of logical cores and all the machines are running right now. You really don't have a CPU problem for that guest.
Right.
But you mentioned, again, not knowing that you're virtualized. Yeah. If you don't know that you're virtualized, you might not be looking at the right counters. I love this screenshot because this one shows me stuff at the guest level, the host layer, and the storage layer. Because if I have an issue, say at the host or storage layer, I don't want to spend a lot of time trying to tune a query. I want to go fix where the real root cause is.
Right.
And if I don't even know I'm virtualized, I don't even know to look for those counters.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a problem, right? So if I don't know I'm virtualized, I end up looking at a thing like Task Manager. And we know Task Manager can be a dirty, filthy liar.
Yep.
I have a great example here because it says SQL Server is only using 134 megs, of memory, right? But it's actually using 3 gigs. Task Manager has no concept of lock pages in memory. So if you're getting your counter values in the same manner that Task Manager is pulling them from, you may never know you may never really know what SQL Server is actually doing. You might just say, oh, it looks like memory's high, but according to this, I can't find which process is consuming that.
It's not me.
The server's kind of
lying
to you.
What you're really saying is that, look, there's several places I have to look.
Yes.
Right? And if I know those, depending on the issue, it may not be one issue. One issue may be hiding the real issue. So there's several places I need to go look to investigate.
Absolutely. So what's one area you might go investigate?
In terms of,
I have a problem on SQL Server, so I'm going to go run some queries against.
Oh, I might go look at them at the DMVs.
DMVs. Okay, question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you know when those DMVs were last reset? Well, you know they get reset.
I do know they get reset, like if I reboot or right if I'm in a VM and I move it from one host to the other, right?
So, and we know some of the DMVs pull from the OS counters, right?
Yep,
so
yep.
Do you know which OS counters get reset on the reboot and which ones don't?
Not off the top of my
head. Not off the top of my head either, yeah. But there are some.
There are some.
And so the DMVs themselves can be reset on the server restart, but they can also be reset if you flush it manually.
So true, yes.
Right?
Yep.
Clear performance death. So if you think about all that, you might find yourself diving into internally, okay, I've got a problem.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the root cause. And when you go looking for the root cause, you may not recognize that the counters have been reset, maybe recently.
Yeah.
So you may not have enough data to pull back in order to find
to make
the
a logical
root cause.
Sure, yeah.
Like, when were these reset? I actually had to find some code. Somebody from Microsoft wrote, there's one of the DMVs you can pull from to kind of guess as to when they might have been cleared manually.
Yeah.
So there's three things you want to know. When was the server bounced? When was the SQL instance bounced? And when was DBCC manually flushed?
Okay.
Those stats for you. Those are the three counters you want to know. If you don't know those things, you might be blind. Again, you're just looking at a symptom. You don't really know.
Right.
You need to have the trend. You need to understand the bigger picture for a longer period of time. And one of the last things I like to talk about is simply, sometimes a server can tell you it's okay, and it's not. Have you ever known, this used to happen quite a lot for us, where a server would appear to be up, but you couldn't reach it. Like, you could ping it, but you couldn't get to it. You couldn't run a query type thing.
Yeah.
So it would show green in the dashboard, and you would never know. So the example I give here is instant CPU utilization only got to 50%. Well, nobody's going to alert on 50% CPU. Matter of fact, they might tell you it's too low. You should be using more of it,
exactly.
Right?
I got some, yeah.
Right. That's extra cycles.
Let's put some more instances on that box.
But this concept of signal weights, where you understand that there's pressure internal.
Yeah.
There's just simply more threads on the runnable queue waiting for an available processor than the CPUs can keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually CPU issue here. It's internal, though. It's not manifesting itself externally. So even when it's, your database server tells you everything's okay, it might not
it
be okay.
That's right.
You really have to know what to look for in all those different places, like you said. Mm-hmm. Because what ends up happening here is you end up spending so much time looking and addressing these symptoms and applying band-aids and never getting to the root cause. You've got to get to the root cause, because the sooner you get to the root cause, the sooner you can go back to looking at cute pictures of cats on the internet.
And that's, we know that's what we all like to do that.
Yeah. This is one of the reasons the internet was founded.
That's right.
Is, and if I have to spend time, if I have to spend more of my time doing
debugging
and all
analysis,
that stuff,
yep.
And I can't be looking at cute pictures of kittens, that's just a waste of time.
Then why are we here? why are we here?
Am I the first person on Data Exposed to have a picture of a cat?
Congratulations, Tom. You are the first person to have a fuzzy, cute cat on Data Exposed. And now, because you probably won't be the last.
No, I hope not. You should have this every time somebody
comes
on.
This is our new background.
It should be.
It's our new background. That's awesome. Oh, he's so cute. Okay, so essentially, and this is kind of a good topic, because we had Bob Ward on, and his, I think it was the top three reasons people call Bob Ward.
Oh, yeah.
right? And it was a lot of the same stuff, right?
Yep.
We sort of drilled down on some of these, but this was, you know, but what I like here is you took a different tact in that, you know, it's not that he, you know, his talk wasn't, hey, your server's lying to you. This is the tact you took, and that, look, you really, there's what we're telling you, the server's telling you, but that's not really what the issue is. And so, you know, how do we go and debug, and what do we go look at to find the real problem of why your server's not performing?
And a lot of it comes with experience over time. I mean, there's, in the SQL community, I know there's just a large volume of information out there, and it's kind of hard to tell what's right or wrong. And then you end up finding that every server is different. It's like everybody's unique.
Yeah.
You're unique, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Every server's workload and circumstance is slightly a little bit different. And what has worked to solve your problem doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work
for mine. Yeah, but there's some best practices that you follow.
Absolutely.
To go, at least start here and start following these steps, right?
Absolutely. But configuring the SQL Server memory is one thing.
Yep.
Not over-allocating CPU is another thing.
Yeah.
But there's no hard and fixed rule that says it has to be this amount.
Correct.
Right.
Correct, right. And that's why you can, you know, at least tweak it and play with it. And given certain guidelines, you can at least get it in a ballpark. Right?
And at the end of the day, you've got to understand what the real root cause is for what's happening right now. Even something as simple as, We are seeing what looks like slow disk, but it's slow disk because I can't, because I'm churning through the pages of memory. I'm churning through the pages of memory because there's this really big query running. But that really big query that's running, that's actually new. We've never seen that query before. It's Joe in accounting. He's running some report he just built. It's the first time it's ever run.
Right.
That's why it looks like anomaly. That's why we're having all these problems. But now you get to the root cause.
Yep.
As opposed to the old days where you'd say, wow, server's slow disk. We should think about upgrading the disk. We need more memory.
Just because Joe wrote a new query.
Just because Joe.
Thanks,
but
if Joe.
You have to have the data.
Yep.
And you have to walk through all that and you have to understand what the real root cause is.
Yep. Awesome. Because we know it all, we all know it, but at the end of the day, it's not, you know, one. You know, it's all about the cute kittens.
How long are we going to leave that up there?
Until we're done talking.
All right.
Until the show's over, and we can keep going.
All right. I'm good with that.
Yeah. So, anyway, Tom, thanks for coming. It's good to So, Tom's in, you're Massachusetts, right?
I am in Massachusetts.
Awesome.
Not now. I'm in.
Well,
London,
that's right.
Technically. Yeah, but
technically.
Yes, I work out of Massachusetts. Yeah.
Okay. And where's SolarWinds based?
SolarWinds based in Austin, Texas. So, I get to go there, and I get to have the most wonderful breakfast tacos.
Now you're making me hungry.
Yeah, I know. I'm hungry
man.
Now.
All right. So, Tom, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you tomorrow at the Redmond SQL Saturday.
Absolutely.
Were you any other SQL Saturdays you're going to?
I don't know what my schedule is.
But
the answer is yes. I go to SQL Saturdays
all the time.
I just don't know which one's coming up.
When's the Boston one? I need to come to that one.
The Boston has a BI one coming in the fall, and the one they just had one in April. So I think they do it every 6 months.
Okay.
So there's a BI one in April, and then BI one, I think, in October, and the one after that will probably be next April.
And just in case people are watching don't know this, you are actually the president of PASS.
I am currently president of PASS.
The PASS summit is?
PASS summit is last week in October in Seattle. So just across the bay or whatever you call it here.
Yep.
Across the 405, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yes, we'll be here in Seattle again, and October 27th, roughly. It's the last week in October, right before Halloween.
Okay, Halloween. Which, great segue, by the way, because if you didn't know, there is going to be a flag football game between the SQL Server MVPs and the SQL Engineering team.
When does this take place?
On Halloween.
On Halloween?
The Saturday following PASS.
Oh, that's tough. All right.
So put it on your calendar now.
I'll think about that.
So put some pressure on Tom to come to. Yeah, so we are doing Chris Tessalonis
was
putting that together.
I do remember some emails about this.
All right,
now.
So if you're in town for a SQL PASS, the Saturday following SQL PASS.
That's right.
Will be a flag football game between the SQL Server MVPs and the SQL Server engineering
at CenturyLink Field, right?
Well, we're trying to find I wonder who could help fund that. We're trying to find some fields here, so we're trying to find a way to.
Wonder if we could find somebody with deep enough pockets.
That's right. Yeah. Some big company whose letters start with M and ends with Microsoft.
Some company that's rented out CenturyLink Field before.
I'm not quite sure their budget. they've budgeted for a flag football game.
Well, you know, if we charge,
you know what?
If we charge the right amount for tickets, we'll cover it.
There you go. We're gonna have to at least ask on that one. That would be awesome at Central League Field.
I'm gonna tell you right now. You do that, I guarantee you, somebody's gonna get hurt.
But at Central League, yes.
Yes. Well, no, somebody's just gonna get hurt. You're playing this flag football game.
Yeah. Probably. And we'll all blame Chris Tessalonis for it was his idea.
We're old now. We're going to get hurt.
All right. Thanks for coming.
Yep.
All right. Tom, thanks for coming. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right. It's been we'll have to do this again.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're in town for PASS, we'll do this again.
Absolutely. Sounds
good. All right. Everybody, thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.